everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom's on the other side of the glass. We keep him there in isolation. No, it's just part of...
with the sign that says, don't feed the animals.
It's just, it's part of a radio station, the way we set it up here.
And we've had it that way even before COVID-19.
Even before COVID came along. Tom, what is this I hear that something strange may be falling from the sky tonight?
Something we haven't seen for many a moon.
Yeah, what the heck is going on? This is one of the driest years ever. Less than 4 inches of rain, should be about 12, didn't have a monsoon. Man, you know.
Do you remember what umbrellas are?
Yeah.
You might need one tomorrow.
Yeah, and how about cracked windshield wipers?
Dried out from being out in the hot sun for month after month.
There you go. Boy, I hope it rains. It's Wednesday, midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show, December the 9th, 2020, Christmas Eve. Now, 2 weeks from tomorrow. So we're really pushing in now on the Christmas season, trying to bring folks together. We're doing the best we can during these very difficult times right here on the radio. We're in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio on 1030's Voice. For trusted news talk, worldwide live listening means if you're near a computer, just go to buckmastershow.com. You'll get the live feed, and we get the live feed at Buckmaster from KVOI. We piggyback that live feed. That's KVOI.com. The Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Speaking of the live line, let's go now to the headquarters of Tucson Unified School District and the superintendent of the second largest district in the state of Arizona, Dr. Gabriel Trujillo. Dr. Trujillo, how are you?
I'm doing very, very well, Bill, and hope you're doing well. Had a wonderful holiday break. Hope you had the same. And after COVID-19 has ripped a hole in the enrollment of Arizona school districts across the state, I think there might be some reconfigurations in terms of who's largest and who's the second largest. I know that Mesa, who was number one before the pandemic, has also gone through a titanic loss of enrollment. So we'll still see it for number two there, Bill.
What are your numbers right now?
Right now, we are down 2,600 students.
Wow.
Year over year. Yeah. It has been a really titanic and devastating loss of enrollment for us. But again, similar to what's been seen across the state, I know, as I mentioned, Mesa, they've lost close to 4,000. There's a district in Maricopa County, Gilbert Unified School District, roughly the size of Sunnyside. They took a 22% loss.
Are you kidding me? 22%? Wow.
22% loss of students. Yeah. Right here in town, MFI took a hit of 13% loss of students. And in TUSD right now, we're just under 6%. So the bleeding has been bad, but I guess it could have been a lot worse. But we're continuing to watch enrollment daily. And thankfully, it's slowed down a little bit in terms of departures from the district.
Well, when you say these departures from these districts, are these students just not going to school, or are they dropping out, or what is going on here in this? I've said it before and I'll say it again. This is one total mess.
Yeah, COVID-19 has been a very, very destructive force to public education. It has ripped the walls down, really just created a titanic-sized mess. What we're seeing, Bill, is a combination of parents getting frustrated and just sort of opting to just keep their kids at home, not necessarily happy with online instruction, and certainly less happy and less confident to have their students physically in any building, whether that's a charter or a private, just kind of throwing their hands in the air and just keeping their kids home. We also see a lot of students, the term we use is ditching. The formal term is non-attendance. That's become a battle, largely with our secondary age students that are 6th through 12th grade. Non-attendance, pandemic non-attendance, and then Obviously, we have a lot of families that, for economic reasons, families have lost work, families are looking for other jobs, and unfortunately have had to relocate out of Pima County. So we see a variety of factors leading to student and family departures from the district.
Can you imagine when we get everybody back in the classroom? And my prediction, Dr. Trujillo, will be somewhat normal. Everybody back in the classroom for the school year 21-22. By then, we'll get everybody vaccinated and things can somehow resume normal. Can you imagine kind of the catch-up that's going to have to go on after this year of a year and a half of virtual learning?
Yeah, I want to really brace the district and our parents and our employees for the fact that we are actually not right now tackling the most difficult part of this pandemic. We think we are, but you hit the nail on the head, Bill. The most difficult aspect of this pandemic is going to be its recovery.
Yep.
The academic recovery,
yep,
when the students return, and the financial recovery when the students return, when revenue starts to flow again. Of course, as you know, all Arizona school districts are funded according to the amount of students that they're able to bring in. So I think the real work certainly lie ahead of us.
You know, I saw Danielle Camara's piece, and I love Danielle. She's a good education reporter. She was going through the districts about, despite COVID-19 cases surging, the virus spread in Tucson schools remains low. She didn't talk, I don't believe, about Tucson Unified. You're not really reporting, are you, the virus spread at Tucson Unified?
Well, we report to the public when we have a school closure.
Okay.
And, or when we have classroom closures. And we, unfortunately, we had an outbreak at C.E. Rose K-8, and I want to compliment the administration. The principal there is a phenomenal leader that really worked really, really hard with her team. Mrs. Alma Carmona Alday, great leader out there. And through the swift action of her team working with Pima County Health Department, we were able to get everybody quarantined, contact tracing completed, and everybody to get off of that campus and into an isolation situation. We are now up to 7 different individuals at CE Rose that have tested positive. So we're working very, very hard there. In that instance, obviously, we did report to Pima County Health Department. We sent a letter home to parents publicizing the situation at Rose and, of course, continuing to answer questions from the media and the press. So in those instances, we certainly do report.
You know, let's be honest here that one case is one too many in a school district. And I think that parents at this point, Dr. Trujillo, are so reluctant to say, even if the schools were open, I think they would be reluctant to send the kids until now. We're so close to the vaccination. I just don't see a turnaround here until everybody gets those shots in their arms.
I think you're dead on there, Bill. We have a couple of different challenges that we're navigating. And I think the biggest one right now is, I know the pro schools opening crowd, the pro in-person learning, the pro why can't you open the schools? One of the things that I want to really clarify to that group, and I respect that opinion. I'm of that crowd. I join you. There's no better place to be for a child or a young person than school. But here are the facts. Yes, transmission rates in schools are low. Yes, I'm not disputing that. Yes, Pima County Health Department has confirmed that schools can't open because transmission rates are low. But here's the problem. Community transmissions are widespread. We are in a public health emergency as a community. So outside of the classroom, you have widespread transmission of the virus, which creates the same result. So for us, administrators trying to run schools, trying to staff schools, trying to keep schools open, it really doesn't matter where an employee contracted the virus. It doesn't matter if they contracted it on campus or out in the community, the results are the same. They're still destructive. We have to remove that staff member from the campus. They have to go into isolation. We lose them for 14 days. We have to send all those students into remote learning. Anybody that had exposure to that person, that employee that tested positive, now they all have to go into isolation. It's the same effect. And so when you have widespread community transmission, you're still challenged to make school the place that it needs to be for kids. Add to that, when you put employees out for isolation, particularly teachers that have to quarantine, we have a sub shortage. We don't even have enough subs that are even able to come in and take the reins of the classroom, which in a sense make the schools inoperable, staffing-wise, logistic-wise, personnel-wise, as long as we are in a state of widespread community transmission. And this is why, like it or not, the fate of TUSD and AmFi and Sunnyside and Cat Foothills, Flowing Wells, Vail, all of our other Southern Arizona districts, all of our public school districts, our fate, our ability to offer in-person learning and to return students to normalcy is inextricably linked to the behavior of the community, to the community's willingness to wear a mask, socially distance, wash hands, avoid large gatherings, and implement all of the mitigation efforts that we know are effective in minimizing the spread of this virus. And until that happens, until this public health emergency stops being politicized, until everybody joins in a community-wide effort to halt this virus in its tracks, the schools will continue to pay the consequences. Because when the adults get the virus out in the community, they can't work, they have to quarantine, can't open classrooms, can't open schools. So very, very difficult issue for us to navigate.
Well, our next issue is not difficult. We're going to be talking now about Christmas and the holiday tables. Dr. Trujillo, when it comes to your Christmas dinner, and you know where I'm going with this, this is Mona's Danish Bakery. They're taking orders right now, Dr. Trujillo, for your dinner rolls and the pies. What type of pie would you like to see on a Trujillo Christmas table?
Definitely apple, slightly warmed in the oven with a fresh teaspoon or tablespoon of whipped cream on top.
How about your rolls? What's called a Parker House roll, something like that. Would that be something that you would like?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, Mona's Danish Bakery, Dr. Trujillo, can take care of your needs right now. Go to their website, monasdanishbakery.com. Put in your order for your pies, your dinner rolls. You can stop in right now at the bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They've got some beautiful selections of holiday cookies that come in a wide variety of shapes and flavors. And check out Mona's Danish Bakery, and we haven't talked about the Kringle. Home of the Danish Kringle. Boy, wouldn't a Kringle be nice on Christmas morning or Christmas Eve or Boxing Day? That's the day after Christmas. So lots of opportunities for the Danish Kringle. It's the Buckmaster Show, Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios. Be right back with Dr. Gabriel Trujillo.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com. Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Jam Culinary Concepts. Those are our three favorite restaurants, the two Vero Amore locations and Noble Hops. Right now, they are collecting food for the food bank. $5 off your meal when you bring in five cans for the food bank. So that's all happening over at the two locations of Vero Amore. Of course, their authentic Neapolitan pizza. And then over in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare. They're also doing a gift card promotion. Buy $100, get a $25 gift card. Happy holidays from Jam Culinary Concepts. This is Buckmaster in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. You know, so many people are alone this holiday season. I've been trying to push this idea because I think it's a good one. A lot of people alone, maybe your neighbor, will not have family coming this year. Why not give them a poinsettia from Green Things? They grew this year 25,000 in like, I think there's a half dozen different colors. Why not pick up a poinsettia or two over at Green Things? Take them to someone who is alone this holiday season. It will brighten up their season for sure. Green Things is at 3384 East River Road. Their website is greenthingsaz.com. Also, zocalovillage.com. Let's go back now on our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Dr. Gabriel Trujillo has a monumental task as the superintendent of Tucson Unified during these very, very difficult times. To be an educator right now, this is a rough one. Dr. Trujillo, how is this district doing money-wise?
Well, unfortunately, Bill, as tough as the times are now, it's about to get worse. And we're going to work really, really hard with our employee organizations, our employee associations and leadership to really start the process of talking about some very, very difficult budget reductions. The district is staring down the barrel of a $20.5 million deficit heading into the 21-22 school year that has been exacerbated by the under-delivery of Governor Ducey's Enrollment Stability Grant Program. Tucson Unified was promised a $20.5 million through this grant program facilitated by the governor's office. We were informed, unfortunately, last week that we're only going to be receiving $15 million. Tucson Unified is not alone. Arizona school districts across all of the counties received significantly fewer dollars than they were promised through the Enrollment Stability Grant funding. So that was more bad news for us. And we're not talking about the types of cuts, Bill, that can just be done at the administrative level, because I do know that the popular talking point for our taxpayers and our parents is, well, just cut the administration.
Oh, yeah.
Cut administrative costs.
Oh, yes.
You cannot do that when you're staring down the barrel of $20 million in cuts. I'll give you an example. The district, when you add up all of our administrative costs, right,
mm-hmm.
all of our principals and our almost 100 schools, assistant principals, deans, our administrative assistants, our secretaries, the superintendent, directors, coordinators, program managers, supervisors, anything that could be considered an administrative cost, that's $12 million. So let's say that we went administratorless. Schools had zero principals, zero assistant principals. There was no superintendent, zero directors, zero managers. If we did that, we would still have to come up with almost $9 million in cuts.
Wow.
That's how deep the deficit is. Absolutely. So unfortunately, we're going to be having some very, very difficult conversations that will involve some very deep structural cuts that probably will remake the landscape of TUSD until we can come out of this. We at this point don't know if schools will be receiving another round of CARES Act funding. That was a lifeline financially for us this particular school year. But with the gridlock that we're seeing in D.C. right now, Congress, we don't know if we're going to get another round of funding. So we're going to have to prepare for a very, very difficult budget season.
Can you imagine now, and I, as I said, normalcy, what it's going to look like. I'm talking, my guess, the school year 21-22. Not only is it going to be a huge challenge for the kids that have been off the radar screen and have lost a year, now you're going to have these monumental economic shifts in this district.
Not only is your lift substantial in terms of having to deal with academic recovery efforts and fund those efforts, those aren't cheap because we're talking a lot about additional tutoring, additional academic support, but now you have to do so with significantly less funding. So you're absolutely right that the situation is just dire financially for us in terms of the kind of district that we want to be for kids. And one of the things that no matter what happens with our budget, and $20 million is serious, I'm challenging my team here and now, and I've said it in a couple of meetings now, I don't care if our deficit is $100 million. We will not take a single dollar from the performance and the visual arts, from extracurricular activities like sports, from special education programs, programs for refugee students, or programs for English language learners. That's just our hill to die on. So no matter how bad things get, I want parents to rest assured we will defend those programs at all costs.
So you're not going to completely eliminate all athletics within the district?
Absolutely not. We will not touch athletics. We will not touch extracurriculars. We will not touch music. We will not touch visual arts like painting and art and drawing. We won't touch any of those programs. Any programs for our students with disabilities, any programs that serve refugee students that call TUSD home, or any programs that support our language-limited students or English language learners, we will force ourselves to defend those programs at all costs, which means that cuts are going to come in other places. We're going to defend all-day kindergarten. We're not going to back off from funding all-day kindergarten. That's a $5 million commitment right now that's under threat with these budget cuts. So we have to find a way to get it done without cutting into these programs. And these programs are more than just operational programs. These are programs that reflect the values and the core beliefs of what we believe as Tucson Unified Educators. So it's going to be a very, very difficult budget season.
And I've only got about a minute. Then there'll be the whole challenge with teachers. A lot of them will decide they're just not coming back.
Unfortunately, that is a challenge, Bill. We've had a lot of teachers telling us that unless the district just remains totally online for the remainder of the year, they cannot commit to coming back or they'll take a leave of absence. And that is more than lip service. We have already seen over 30 teacher resignations and retirements come in since mid-October. So
really?
this is not an idle threat. We take it very, very seriously. We care about our employees, and we want to make sure that we're making the best decisions that we can to make sure that we're retaining the greatest amount of teachers possible.
All right, Dr. Trujillo, have a very safe and lovely holiday, and we will look forward to our next visit with you in early 2021. As I've been saying on my Christmas cards, I have one line on my cards, and it says, 2021 will be better, with an exclamation mark. So there you go. Have a great holiday.
You have a great holiday, and my hope is we kick off 2021 together in a studio.
Thank you very much. Take our break right here.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Once a quarter here on the Buckmaster Show, we focus on what I believe is Arizona's most important resource, because if we don't have water, we don't have anything. Arizona Water Quarterly is presented by the Central Arizona Project, Your Water, Your Future. Joining us now on the show, Karen Caesar, the Pima County representative on the Central Arizona Water Conservation District Board. Karen, it is great to see you, and congratulations. You are newly reelected to the board.
Bill, thank you very much. I'm so happy to be here and looking forward to serving for another 6 years.
Pretty good year for CAP in 2020. A lot of people are saying, I can't wait for this year to be in the rearview mirror, but there were some highlights.
We did. Beyond the obvious, everybody wants this to turn the page on this year. We did have some highlights, and if I can, I'm just going to roll through some numbers real quick, just to get a sense. 1.4 million acre feet is what we will have delivered by the end of the year, CAP water. And that is the amount of water that would serve more than 4 million Arizona families for a year.
Wow.
Right. Of the 1.5 million megawatt hours that we need next year for electricity, we've already secured about 65% of those total resources, and at a very good rate, which helps keeps our water rates low. So that's a good thing. Our staff has spent almost 275,000 hours performing system-wide maintenance to protect CAP's valuable infrastructure. So these people, essential workers, cannot stay home. They need to be out. They need to be maintaining our system, and they've spent a lot of time doing that. And finally, I want to say we received two major platinum awards in 2020, which are pretty exciting. One from the Association of the Metropolitan Water Agencies for Utility Excellence, and one we're really proud of from the Arizona Department of Environmental Quality for our voluntary environmental stewardship.
Well, congratulations. That's a pretty good year. Anything else that you wanted to add to that?
Well, I'd just like to take a moment to talk about that last award, because it's really quite an honor. We joined the ranks of only six other organizations in Arizona last year, including Honeywell, Intel, and Arizona Public Service, in recognizing our efforts on environmental stewardship. And that's something that's kind of baked into our culture and our mission. So we're very proud of that.
As I recall in our conversations, you've talked about the commitment to sustainability, Karen Caesar.
Oh, yes. And right now in our current strategic plan, which goes through next year, 2021, it's right there in our values and says we will operate in an environmentally responsible manner, which frankly is, I think, essential for a major water provider to do.
So the next strategic plan already in the works? So can you update me on that quickly?
Yeah, absolutely. Our current plan is going through 2021, but we have just adopted, in fact, last week at our board meeting, we adopted the new strategic plan that will officially begin in 2022. But the spirit that we embody in this plan is starting right away.
Why 2022, date?
Well, that's been a good question. It has a lot to do with the fact that this plan now adopted will be used by our staff to craft their plans for the future, the finances and other things that they intend to accomplish. So while it's still 2020 and the kickoff date is 2022, the best way to describe it was, they're already putting out the 2021 cars here in 2020 to make them seem newer, longer. So same with our strategic plan.
So what are some of the highlights? We've talked before about the strategic plan, but what do you think are some of the takeaways that we need to know about?
Well, it's really, like I said, this was a wholesale revision to the plan we had, and we conducted most of this in a virtual format, which was a challenge, but it was very successful. And if anybody's been involved in strategic plan efforts, you know they can be dry and somewhat tedious. I can say this was the opposite. We had full engagement of the board, stakeholders, staff, and we really identified our key results areas and our missions and values.
You want to hit on a couple of them real quickly?
Sure, real quick. Key results areas are KRAs in strategic plan speak. Some of them include addressing the impacts from the Colorado River drought and over-allocation. That's probably, huge. All the way to our workforce and a key results area of implementing programs to support and building a diverse, inclusive, and representative workforce. I think the thing with KRAs is they are measurable. You can have a lot of lofty goals and objectives, but the key results areas are really things that you can go back and test against. Did we do what we wanted to do?
Is anything about carbon footprint in there as well, Karen?
Absolutely. Another key result area we want to do is continue to work on reducing our carbon footprint. And CAP, like I said, with that Platinum Award for Voluntary Environmental Stewardship is well on its way to fulfilling that one.
Karen, beside the strategic plan, what else is on the horizon here as we get ready to turn over the calendar in 2021?
And we're all looking forward to that.
Yep.
Of course, we have been and will continue to deal with the effects of COVID as any organization has had to do. For us, it will mean business as usual, but with regard to keeping the water flowing and our essential workforce out, maintaining, operating, delivering water, but also to keep everybody safe. We will continue to hold our board meetings virtually at least through March at this point in time, which will make unbelievably 1 year of meeting in a virtual format.
How's the new board looking?
Well, we're looking really good. I was honored last week to be sworn in, as you mentioned at the beginning mm-hmm. of this segment. Thank you very much.
That was done virtually. I saw your Facebook.
Yes, we did. We did it virtually. Actually, the Pima County board members could meet. We met in a socially distanced, safe way, but we got to meet together. And that was really important because not only could we share our swearing in with each other, but we could also honor and recognize Sharon Megdahl, who did not run for reelection after serving two terms on the board. In addition to me, we have Pat Jacobs and Mark Taylor, and then we will be welcoming a new board member, Marie Pairthree. So we will be your Pima County representatives, and I can tell you that I think we'll be in good hands for another 6 years.
Sharon is amazing. Her knowledge of water is just off the charts.
Oh, it is, and she leaves huge shoes to fill. And also, I would be remiss to not mention in Pinal County, which has one seat, Jim Hartigan did not seek reelection, and he was replaced on the board by Stephen Miller. So we were really sorry to say goodbye to Jim and Sharon, a wealth of knowledge on water, but we welcome Stephen and Marie as new board members, and the rest of us look forward to continuing serving.
Yeah, sounds like Pima County is in good hands there. Anything else you'd like to highlight for 2021?
Like I said, mission central is keeping the water flowing, but we were also going to be working on our voluntary protection program recertification through the Arizona Division of the Occupational Safety and Health Department. Safety is a huge deal, an important part of our culture at CAP. And if you've ever watched one of our board meetings, you'll see we begin with a safety minute. And we just, like I said, we want to bake into our culture safety because our people are our most valuable resource. Our staff and the water heroes that bring, water to 80% of Arizona, and we want to keep everybody safe.
And you mentioned last time you were with us something about a CAP university program. Has that taken off?
It did. About 3 weeks ago, we launched our initial class of CAP University. More than 300 people tuned in for a better part of a morning to learn about water issues. And a friend of mine who tuned in told me, he said, "I didn't know there was that much to know about CAP." So it's a great, people are interested, and it's a great opportunity for everybody to learn more about CAP and all the different facets of this organization.
And the hydrology on the Colorado River, it's going to be a huge deal.
Oh, we don't want to talk about that. we'll save that for first. Yeah. No, it's been dry and
horrible.
And dry and drier, and that does not bode well for our outlook, but we are prepared. The drought contingency plan prepared for this. So we are prepared if it gets more dire. And we will also be looking to the reconsultation of the guidelines. And I can talk more about that when we meet next time.
We will meet in the first quarter. And I'll tell you, it's one of the driest years on record here. And so it's tough. Let's hope we get some rain tonight.
Let's hope it's a peaceful and healthy holiday season for all your listeners. And thank you for always having me here. I appreciate it so much. I wish you and yours a very, very happy new year.
And the best to you, Karen. Thank you so much. I look forward to our quarterly visits. Have a great Christmas and holiday season.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. We'll be right back. It's Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The Regional Transportation Authority Plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA Board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, midweek edition in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Yes, a lot of people are staying close to home, but the day will be coming, hopefully in a matter of months, that we can pile in the car and head for Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. What a beautiful area with so much to do, including hiking in the Gila National Wilderness and enjoying the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. One of the first national monuments, I think it was established by Teddy Roosevelt early in the 1900s. So there's a lot to do over there. For more information on where to stay and what to do, visit southwestnewmexico.org, so you'll be ready when New Mexico is once again ready to welcome out-of-state visitors. Let's welcome now on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, one of our two dozen contributors to this program. These are experts in their field, and I'm so honored to have them. Bill Doley, President and CEO of Archaeology Southwest, a nonprofit organization based here in Tucson. Dr. Doley, how are you?
I'm doing really, really well, Bill, and it's really nice to be back on the show.
Well, it's always good to have you on the program. We had to kind of put you on the sideline till we finished with the political interviews. We had a lot of them to get through, as you can imagine, but you're back in the game right now. And I wanted to bring you on, Bill, to talk about the expected changes in the management of our public lands that will begin with the new Biden administration. What are you looking for, Bill Doley?
Well, I think that we're going to see a lot of the focus that Archaeology Southwest has with public lands is related to things like national monuments and the places that are protected out there. And we've been talking on this show for many years, actually, about Bears Ears National Monument as it was proposed as an idea, and then as it was implemented by President Obama in late 2016, and then it was downsized from 1.35 million acres to under 200,000 acres by President Trump at the end of 2017. I think we're going to see a very rapid attention to correcting that downsizing. And it might happen even on the first day of the new Biden administration. So I think there's some mending of some very difficult taking away of protected public lands. I think there'll be a much more a friendlier approach, the energy dominance and prioritizing exploitation of the mineral and gas resources of our public lands to a more balanced approach that really gives strong weight to cultural issues like tribal concerns and cultural resources in general. So I'm optimistic.
And for those that don't know, Bears Ears National Monument in southern Utah, this is a very special situation. Bears Ears, I understand, Bill Doley, it's the first case where you had five tribal sovereign nations coming together, and they petitioned a United States president to declare a national monument.
Absolutely. No, the Antiquities Act has been around since 1906, and it's been used well over 100 times by presidents to establish national monuments. They can be for their historical value, their cultural value, and even more broadly, their scientific value. The very first monument was Devil's Tower up in Wyoming in 1906. Which was actually established because it's an amazing geological phenomenon for its scientific values. But in that first monument, the concerns of tribal peoples, indigenous peoples, that's a sacred place, were actually not factored in at all. And with Bears Ears, remarkable petroglyphs, amazing canyons with places of residence, well-preserved. It's an amazing landscape, and five different tribes find that landscape of extreme cultural value to them. So they actually got together, even though they might have historically had some differences of the way they got along with one another. They've come together and maintained that Bears Ears intertribal coalition from the time that they asked the president to declare the monument to the present. And they're bringing their voices forward now to ask for the reinstatement of the Bears Ears National Monument as well.
Bill, I want to talk a little bit about your organization, Archaeology Southwest, and this shift away from using lawsuits as an advocacy tool. You're working actually with the BLM now in multiple areas in direct and productive ways.
Yes. I mean, with Bears Ears, we joined a lawsuit, and in another case, we've been a part of a plaintiff in a lawsuit against the Sonoran Desert National Monument, where we felt like the recreational shooting out there was threatening things like petroglyphs and cultural resources in inappropriate ways. So we actually did in the past participate in a lawsuit, but you know, I have not been very satisfied with the way we won the suit, but it didn't change behaviors on the land.
Yes.
So now we're meeting on a monthly basis with the leadership there of Sonoran Desert National Monument, talking about issues. We've identified in one case some concerns over one of their plans. We met with them then. A couple months later, out on the ground, and talked through those issues face to face, getting to understand one another's position. So, I think that's. We're in a dysfunctionally partisan state in this nation so much. So, we're trying to shift our focus to prioritizing scientific approaches, discussing evidence, understanding issues, and sharing information, and are confident that that's probably a much more productive way to. It might take a little longer to settle issues, but that's going to be our first order of priority as we move into this new administration.
Bill Doley, perhaps your next visit with us, you can talk about a big priority for the next 2 years, the Great Bend of the Gila. I don't really have a lot of time to go into that, but we're basically talking about 80 linear miles along the Gila River and the Gila Bend Mountains to the north. It's an area rich in petroglyphs,
yes.
Ancient trails, bulb courts, and more. So that's going to be a big focus for you, correct?
Yes, I'll be more than happy to come back. And again, our mission is to connect past places and stories to the people and values of the present. So that's what our goal is out there. And I'm more than happy to come back and chat with you.
Bill, I've got about 20 seconds. Tell our listeners where they can find out more about your organization.
So archaeologysouthwest.org, spelling Archaeology Southwest all the way out, is our website. We offer a weekly news digest that comes out every Wednesday. There's other access to information and free things, as well as we have a membership opportunity. So come on board and check us out.
I'm on board, and I urge everybody else to do the same. Bill Doley, my best to you and your lovely family this Christmas season. Have a wonderful holiday, Bill.
Thank you. Same to you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Bill Doley from Archaeology Southwest, one of our contributors to the Buckmaster Show, all of our list of 24 contributors at buckmastershow.com. It's a very impressive group of people. Tom Fairbanks is an impressive engineer and producer for me on the Buckmaster Show. Thanks, Tom. We did it again midway through the week here. Bill Buckmaster wishing you a wonderful afternoon.